really look like it. And if there was, it makes it tough. It makes it tough.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I didn't know you were a Taoist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. For a long time. I mean, I'm not a good one. Yeah. I'm a lazy one, but those are some of the ideals that I try to, you know, the idea of a balance in life, and you know, there's a strong social justice aspect, component to the Complete Reality School of Taoism, and then there are some bizarre schools of Taoism. There's like weird mystical Taoism. There's sexual Taoism. There's all kinds of like, you know, just esoteric things, which I think is the same with any school of thought that's been around that long.
For sure.
There's all different branches.
I've got a good friend who's a Jesuit priest and obviously an absolute believer. And when our conversation turns on these topics, I find it difficult to explain my position to him. I think he's used to people who are, as I say, indifferent atheists. I'm kind of hopping back a paragraph here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
Indifferent or contemptuous atheists. But I don't think he really gets me. Like, I'm really interested in this.
Right.
And it means a lot to me, but I'm not a believer. His feeling is you're either in it or you're out.
Right. Now, how do you feel about the historical occurrence of the guy named Jesus? I know my wife just read a book with our UU minister had a book group where they read the book Zealot.
Yeah.
Which is a...
I'm looking forward to it.
A recent retelling of the life of Jesus. Yeah. And it basically paints him as a sort of, you know, sort of pedestrian guy. And he was a zealot. And the zealots were, you know, consciously trying to overthrow the Romans and get them out of the area. And he, you know, had a family and day job. And, you know, just... He was a man of his times. He was not...
I haven't read it, but... Have you read it yourself?
No, I haven't. And she wouldn't come on the show.
So
if you're listening, call.
My guess is no. My guess is that there isn't such a person in history. But I could be wrong.
Yeah.
But if I had to put money on it, I'm going to say, you know, maybe like 90%. I'm guessing this is all founder myth. A lot of it is clearly founder myth. There are certain events which historians have already traced to other sources. I'll give you just one. I think it's in John's Gospel where... The miraculous catch of fish, you may remember.
Yes.
We can't find any fish. Here comes a mysterious man down the beach.
Right. Cast your nets.
Okay, right. And look, they bring up a lot. So we know that this...
And he makes them fishers of men.
There you go. We know that this myth pre-existed Christianity because it's been found in Pythagorean literature. Pythagoras is the one who says, throw your nets over one more time and you bring up a certain number of fish.
Right.
So moments like that can be directly traced... there's a book, an interesting book called Gospel Fictions by a man named Randall Helms, where he talks about how much of the material in the New Testament can be traced to other sources. Most of it actually Old Testament sources, but then some other extraneous things like Pythagoras or Socrates or Homer.
Mm-hmm.
And he got to like more than 90% of what is described. Historians have found sources.
In older sources.
Right. This is a retelling of something from previous scripture or from exteriors.
Right.
So I wrote to him, actually, and I said, so if it's over 90%, why don't you just assume that the last couple percent hasn't been spotted, it's lost to history, but the whole thing is a reconstruction or what's called midrash in Jewish tradition. Let's take an old source and reinvent it in a new form to find new meaning in it and so forth.
In a more contemporary setting for a more contemporary purpose.
Yeah, and he was not persuaded by that. He goes to a specific line in Paul's epistles where Paul talks about having met James, the brother of the Lord. That's the quote.
Mm-hmm.
So that's enough for Randall Helms, the brother of the Lord. That means James, who was Jesus Christ's biological brother.
Right.
Therefore, he existed.
Right.
But it's a really, it's a thin link.
Mm-hmm.
The brother of the Lord could mean a lot of other things. It could be a term describing a holy person. It could be a term describing somebody who's a member of a group that called themselves the brethren of the Lord. It's just the way Paul behaves, and Paul is our earliest source, by the way. The Gospels are all decades later.
Right.
Paul is the closest thing we have to an eyewitness, and we have no eyewitnesses, by the way. Nobody saw this person. He didn't write anything down. Nobody who saw this person wrote anything down, I should
say.
And
no historical records from the courts or anything else.
Yeah, no contemporaneous historical records.
Right.
And so Paul talks about going to see James and the Jerusalem church, which is generally taken to be, well, this is the brothers of Jesus who started their own group in Jerusalem, and they became the most important Christians.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just weird, because he waits a really long time. First, he has his conversion experience mm-hmm. on the way to Ephesus. You remember this, falls off his horse, sees a light. Jesus appears to him in a mystical vision.
Mm-hmm.
Paul is converted, decides he's going to stop persecuting Christians and become the greatest advocate.
Right.
And then he waits a really, really, really long time. I want to say like over a year or more. I can look it up in the break. And then he goes to see this person he calls the brother of the Lord, stays there for a couple of weeks, leaves again, never goes back.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make any sense. If these right. are people who actually knew the person that you've just dedicated your entire life to.
Why? Yeah.
Why would you be indifferent to...
Why the gap?
Why the gap? Why the indifference to what they think, what they saw, you know, what this person actually said? Paul seems to very much be... preaching, and he's the one who starts this whole thing. Paul starts the Jesus revolution
mm-hmm.
By expanding it out to Gentile communities.
Right.
It really looks like Paul is doing something fundamentally different from, there was a historical person who was contemporaneous with me, and he thought these things, and I'm going to tell you about them.
And his name was Brian, as we know.
If you read the epistles, have you ever read Paul's letters?
Oh, God, not in a long time. Oh, God. Not in a long time, he said.
Oh, this fascinating silence. This fascinating silence about virtually all issues having to do with actual history. Like, he talks about Jesus Christ and Christ Jesus and the crucified and the Lord over and over and over and over. But how about this is where he lived?
Right.
This is whom he spoke to. Mm-hmm. This is what he did. There's nothing in there about being in a particular place or a particular time or even preaching particular things.
Now, to play, I don't want to say devil's advocate, but to play Jesus's advocate,
okay.
could that be specifically intentional to make it more universal to audiences from outside the area where it all took place? Because if you said, oh, this is where he bought his newspaper at this newsstand,
yeah.
that doesn't mean anything to the guy over in Canaan. You know, but if you say, he bought his newspaper every day, I was like, oh, I must buy a newspaper every day.
I don't think so, because as soon as the Gospels are written,
mm-hmm.
Mark is the earliest one, even though it comes second. As soon as the Gospels are written several decades later and then going up into the second century, then everybody who preaches after that...
Is specific.
Is specific, yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
It's as if nobody ever referred to Abraham Lincoln doing... specific things until several decades after his assassination, and then suddenly everybody started talking about these particular narratives. And before that, it had just been, there's this gap, and then suddenly we all know about the history of Lincoln. That's kind of what it looks like.
Right.
So the better response, if you want to argue the other side, and people do argue this, is that Paul doesn't put any of that information in because everybody knew it. What's the point? You don't have to say, I need not remind you that George W. Bush was the president right. of the United States, right? Because we
right.
all know it.
Right.
And yet it looks, it's just suspicious. There's a whole lot of absence. I mean, he doesn't make, and the other epistle writers either, they don't seem to be referring to a historical person. They seem mm-hmm. to be talking about much more of a spiritual presence that they experience in visionary states.
Mm-hmm. Now, related, the what is it? It's not parchment, but the document with the mention of Jesus's wife.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen this?
It was in the paper this week
yeah.
that it was verified.
Yes,
as,
well, so far.
At least authenticated to the date.
Right.
Now, they don't know whether it... That doesn't mean what's written on it is true.
It's a little Coptic fragment.
Yeah, but it's authenticated to its date.
Yeah, the ink looks good and the paper looks good, but its date is several hundred years after the purported
right.
person. So, I'm still... My money is still on forgery, actually.
Uh-huh.
But if it isn't... All it's showing us is that Christians had a debate over whether Jesus had a wife
and
several centuries after the story started.
Oh, yeah. And I think extrapolating from that, the role of women in the church, because,
yeah.
I mean, you're talking about the patriarchal organization yeah. of the last 2,000 years.
Yeah.
I mean, we're essentially women. I mean, if you look at the two main female characters in the New Testament, you have a whore and a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You know, you have men from all walks of life. You have kings, you have slaves, you have merchants, you have all kinds of stuff, but the women are, you know, virgins
yeah.
or sluts.
And Mary Magdalene isn't a prostitute in the original Gospels either.
Right.
She's a woman who She seems to have some affliction of devils. But then the interpretation of that as having been a prostitute comes from church fathers later on.
Yeah.
So there's a pretty anti-female slant that gets in there quickly.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that alone would cause me, if I were a woman, that alone would cause me not to want to join, like, the Catholic Church or a Christian church, because they're telling you by their very structure today, there is no role for you equal to that of a man.
Well, there's certainly liberal Christians and liberal churches.
Yeah, that's true. There are female ministers and Episcopalian and...
But the Vatican is not among them.
No. Despite how cool everybody thinks Francis is.
Yeah, and I actually think Francis is kind of cool myself.
Yeah.
Given that he and I are never going to agree on fundamental issues, you know, metaphysical issues or epistemological issues. As far as popes go, he's certainly head and shoulders above the last one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't think we're going to have female priests anytime soon or... I don't think the celibacy rule is going to be lifted, anything like that. He is coming out now to talk about the terrible child abuse scandals that have rocked the church so badly. I really hope he makes some fundamental changes there and not just lip service.
Although, can I say that, and this was just this week too, and there is footage, and he met with a council that he had set up on addressing the child abuse and stuff. And there was this photo op with him and a bunch of kids at the Vatican. And once again, there's the old white guy in priestly garb surrounded by children.
You're just feeling uncomfortable about
that. Yeah, I'm just feeling uncomfortable. And I'm like, you know, you didn't need to go there to send the message that you're addressing this. Mm. You didn't need that visual. You know, look at the children flocking to the old priest.
Oh, God. There's just been so much suffering.
It's too recent.
So much suffering all over the world. Just all over the West. It's such a terrible, terrible blight on the church. They have to make a fundamental break.
Yep.
It's got to be transparent. It's got to have legal repercussions.
Mm-hmm.
All the bishops who have been guilty. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't just assume.
Yeah, there's obviously
they need their time in court, but they need to be put in court, and somebody has to find out who's doing this and who's been enabling it.
Yes,
and
the conspiracy of silence needs to end,
absolutely.
And I don't think it's ended yet.
Absolutely.
And Francis, the steps he's taken are certainly steps in the right direction.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a public acknowledgement.
We can give him that much
from the Pope, which did not happen before.
Right.
You know, but it's still messed up.
Well, we're getting kind of heavy here. Shall
we
go back
to
some rocking?
Yeah, let's go to some Christian rock. This is, I wish I knew lyrically what it's about, but I have a bunch of stars next to it, so that means I really wanted to play it tonight.
All right.
So hopefully it will make some sense. We can contrive some context once we hear the lyrics, and I'll be like, oh, see, subconsciously I knew it would fit.
There you go.
To play it now.
The Easter Extravaganza.
Yes, this is a Christian rock band from 1971. And as far as Christian rock bands, these were one of the biggies in their day.
It's not Stryper, is it?
No. This is back from 1971. It's not Stryper. But dig this and dig it deep.
see. I'm ready to change now. If someone would show me how. Well, I know that Jesus said that he would get up.
While you're at it, leave the nightlight on inside the birdhouse in your soul. not to put too fine a point on it. Say I'm the only bee in your bonnet. Make a little birdhouse in your soul.
Hello, people of Medford. This is an impromptu show. DJ Unknown is here in the studio. This is really important work that he's doing. We played one from They Might Be Giants. I hope you enjoyed it, and we're gonna keep this show going. I hope you enjoy it. All right, here we go.
Gentlemen, this is your DJ speaking. This is DJ Unknown. Once in a lifetime opportunity. We just came from Apple Jam. What do we think about the fine folks at Apple Jam? Let me find the second mic.
The third one.
I'm going to turn all of them up.
I don't think they can hear me. Yeah, so we just came from Apple Jam, and it was a movie.
It was great.
Yeah. A feature film, an A24 film. So our plan tonight is just to bless you with a beautiful mix of so many different things. I think we only have They Might Be Giants and Sergeant Pepper.
We have John Coltrane too, but we can't figure out how to get that one to work.
Well,
bear with us.
The Coltrane will be a really important addition, and I hope you will enjoy the Coltrane, because I don't actually know which Coltrane album it is. Is he depressed or is he a man? Totally worthless. It's the one with green sleeves on it.
Bear with us, we're finding the good one. Here it is.
There it is.
Alright, this is the best Beatles song of all time, and if you disagree with me, you can come into the studio and fight me yourself.
Nothing to do to save his life, call his wife in. Nothing to say, but what a day, how's your boy been? Nothing to do, it's up to you. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, yeah.
Going to work, don't wanna go, feeling low down. Heading for home, you start to roam, then you're in town.
Everybody knows there's nothing doing. Everything is closed, it's like a ruin. Everyone you see is half asleep. And you're on your own, you're in the street. After a while, you start to smile. Now you feel cool.
Then you decide to take a walk by the old school. Nothing has changed, it's still the same. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning.
Everyone in town is getting dark. Everyone you see is full of life. It's time for tea and meet the wife. Somebody needs to know the time. Glad that I'm here. Watching the skirt, you start to flirt. Now you're in gear. Go to a show, you hope she goes. I've got nothing to say, but it's okay.
Good morning.
Tell me about your day.
I read the news today.
What was on
the news? Oh boy. About a lucky man who made the grave.
Explain.
And though the news was rather sad,
yeah.
Well, I just had to laugh.
Huh. Tell me more about that.
Hold on, next verse. I saw the photograph.
Right. And what did you think when you saw the photograph?
Well, all I know is he blew his mind out in a car.
Huh. And what happened after that?
He didn't notice that the lights had changed.
Huh.
And it was crazy because, like, a crowd of people stood and stared.
That's really crazy, yeah. Yeah.
They'd seen his face before. He was really sure if he was from the House of Lords.
Huh, yeah.
film today. Oh boy, what film did you see today?
I actually saw a film today, actually. Yeah.
Well, the English army had just won the war.
Huh. That wasn't really what happened when I saw the film.
A crowd of people turned away because... I just had to look because I read the book.
Having read it, yeah. That was a beautiful gerund.
Oh, you're into gerunds?
Yeah.
Hold on, I gotta get back on the boards.
He's back on the boards. This is unknown, everyone. So then what else happened after that?
The hole was rather small. You know what we had to do, Jill? We had to count them all. And now, you know how many holes it takes to fill the Abbott Hall.
Yeah.
What time is it? Is it?
No, it's only 10:34.
Okay, we gotta give a tag. This is DJ Unknown, you're listening to 91.5 FM, WFM. If you're still on campus, get your ass down to the Curtis Hall. Curtis Hall.
To see Glitterer.
Someone after them. No. Fine folks at Apple Jam put on a hell of a show.
Yeah.
It was just a movie in there, that's what it was.
Yeah. You'll feel just like this.
Yeah. Hold on. Ta-da.
That's exactly what Apple Jam feels like.
You feel like six pianos just hitting.
Yeah. So you should head down to Apple Jam at Curtis Hall. Do it.
What up, 27 listeners?
Yeah.
Why?
Do you guys want to call in?
First and foremost, why?
Yeah.
Second of all, call us.
I'm glad that you're still here, though.
Yeah. 10:35 p.m. on a Saturday night. Hold on, the best part of the Sgt. Pepper's coming out.
Just hold on.
about the quest for the historical Jesus and the...
This is Brian Kernahan, and you are listening to WMFO in Medford, 91.5 FM, Tufts Educational Radio.
Is a lot to cover, and the flavor starts to change a lot from one hand to the other. And for an 18-year-old kid who's just stepping out and living in a place he knows nothing about, sometimes you can't keep your thoughts from going south. I'm going south, going south, going south.
to keep me sane. The smell of East Texas pie after rain. Chili con carne and Frito pie. Not bad at armadillos on the roadside. Some fella asked me if I had a six shooter and a back 40. And if I rode a horse in a town. And if I had running water. Walk and talk a whole lot faster than me. And I find myself going in the direction of Slate Shores and Paladie. And I might be here, but there's somewhere else I'd rather be. I'm going south, going south, going south. Now I'm going north, going north, going north. I'm going north, going north, going north. I'm going north, going north, going north. I'm going north, going north, going
WMFO on the web at WMFO.org.
Leave room for your growth tomorrow.
Well, we can't go out. Yeah, that's what they say. Try to make these days go by. Doesn't even matter anyway. Come on, it's move. Come on, baby, let's go. We'll breathe the air, and we'll get.
Thanks for keeping it on your freeform station. We hope you're enjoying the music. 91.5 WMFO Medford and worldwide at WMFO.org.
COVID-19, WMFO DJs are pre-recording their shows for broadcast on air. We can still accept phone calls, but the phone line is in voicemail mode. Call 855-915-9636 and be sure to leave the DJ's name in the voicemail so we can forward it to the correct person. The following program was recorded earlier. Enjoy.